fighting for freedom every day. Broadcasting from the heartland of America.
The next generation in conservative talk radio.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed it is. What's up? Hey, welcome into it. It is the Voice of Reason. I am Andy Hoosier. So great to have you along for the ride today on a post-Monday celebration. Greatest day of the entire week. I don't care what anybody tells you. We are setting the tone. We are looking at what the rest of the week has in store for us, and we get to be excited about how awesome we get to be each and every day. Yes, that is my internal optimism showing today, and I'm totally okay with that. That's all right. We're ready to do it, baby.
Do it live!
Like we do every single day. This is the Voice of Reason. I am Andy Hoosier, broadcasting out of the heart of the nation in Wichita, Kansas, on our flagship radio station. But we are all over the country, multiple radio stations and TV, live streaming, podcasting, however you watch or listen. Your Millennial General reporting for duty. So great to have you with us. We got a lot to talk about. I don't know if you're aware or not, Congress is out of session this week. They're back at it next week. So what's on the slate when we get back? There seems to be some turmoil in the Republican side of the aisle. When isn't it, right? When isn't it? So what's the priority when they get back next week? We'll talk about some of that. We have some campaign issues. For example, I don't know if you saw or not, but last night on the late night talk shows, I do not watch much of the late night talk shows. I have not seen a full-on late night talk show on TV since Craig Ferguson left on CBS, which was by far the best late night talk show out of all of them. He was after David Letterman with the Late Late Show, the Scottish guy, and he's great. I actually saw him with a stand-up comedy, I want to say last fall. It was the anniversary for Mrs. Voice of Reason and I, which was a lot of fun. But nonetheless, there are still, I guess they're still there. They still do their thing. And they're bringing out the big guns, man. Campaign's on the run here. Yeah.
What's trending today?
Big story, man. They're pulling out the big guns on the campaign trail for Joe Biden because you might want to cover up a little bit. The desperation is showing slightly for Joe Biden bringing out Hillary Clinton to go out to the late night talk shows.
Biden versus Trump.
Yes,
we know that.
It is.
What do you say to voters who are upset that those are the two choices?
Get over yourself. Those are the two choices.
Yeah, yeah, love that.
Right? And,
that's funny.
It's kind of like, one is old and effective and compassionate, yeah, has a heart and really cares about people. And one is old and has been charged with 91 felonies.
Very comical. That seems to be the mindset of the Democrat Party right now. What is the platform, though? I still haven't heard much of a platform other than they're doing their Investing in America tour right now about how much money they've sunk into this program, how much they want to bail out this program, how much they want to do here or there. I know social issues are obviously issue, probably item number one for the progressives, including the abortion issue. They want to reinstate Roe v. Wade at the federal level, which they're trying to do through the telemedicine mindset, through the abortion pill. That way, the states that are saying, yeah, we don't really want abortion in our state because we don't agree with it, we especially don't agree with taxpayer money going towards it, then the Democrats are like, yeah, well, we're going to force you to accept it either way or the other. Because remember, we can't live on our own and just do our own thing. No, it has to be a universal mindset from the progressives, which leads us to our guest right out of the gate today.
What's trending today?
Where we heard the latest conversation just a week or so ago, a couple weeks ago, from the Supreme Court on the abortion pill as they continue to try and ram it down our throats. We try to include it into telemedicine and where this conversation's going. Happy to have on the program, as she is the Director of Medical Affairs for the Charlotte Lauser Institute. Happy to have on Dr. Ingrid Skop. Doctor, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. Good to be with you.
Yeah, so great to have you. I appreciate you very much. The latest conversation from the Supreme Court, they're obviously trying to make this a bigger, better thing for this abortion pill, where if I remember correct, and correct me if I'm wrong here, then I thought that you had to actually go to a doctor and they had to give you the whole rundown of all the disclaimer of the potential side effects of this thing that could potentially harm not only obviously the baby or the fetus, but the woman as well. That they're trying to do away with all of these actual warnings for you before you take these pills.
Yeah, absolutely. The two pills, mifepristone and misoprostol, it's a horrible experience for women. They will bleed heavily for a couple of weeks, describe labor-like pain, and sadly, many women will see their aborted child. Four times as many complications, and yet it's being pushed toward women. And we now see the reason, because they're using it to circumvent state laws, like you said. This Supreme Court case is about the FDA doing its job to protect the American public, in this case, women and girls, from dangerous drugs. Like you said, over time, they have removed critical safeguards, really with no evidence to back it up. But currently, using the COVID pandemic as an excuse, they permanently removed all the in-person requirements. No one is looking a woman in the eye. These can be ordered online. So we don't know, is it a woman who wants an abortion or is it a sex trafficker? No one is doing an ultrasound to determine how far along a woman is or to rule out a potentially deadly ectopic pregnancy. No one is really verifying that these women know the other alternatives. There are 3,000 crisis pregnancy centers that would love to walk alongside women to help them give birth to their children, which studies tell us most women who obtain abortions would have preferred to give birth if they just had support. So that's what's going on at the Supreme Court. They're being asked to supervise the FDA. The FDA has broken its own rules. Essentially, it's broken the law in order to allow these totally unsupervised, dangerous drugs to be promoted to women.
It's wild that this movement started as, well, we're just about, just equal rights and we're just about choice. We just want choice. We're all about freedom of choice. That way you can choose what you want to do. But if you give any information to try and counter the choice that they want you to make, then they lose their minds. Not only with the Supreme Court, but being here in Kansas, where I'm based out of with our flagship, we've had to deal with it at the state level, too, where our legislature, predominantly Republican, has tried to put in to where if they take these pills, that there's a disclaimer, the doctor has to tell the patient that, number one, of the side effects like we just mentioned, but number two, that if you choose to reverse that within like a three-day window, that you have an option there as well. And Democrats are losing their minds there, that you shouldn't have to tell them about that option. They want the pill, shut up and let them take it and just be done with it. Like, that to me is kind of wild.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, the narrative of choice has been proven to be false. They don't want the women to have a choice to take progesterone to reverse the effects of mifepristone, which does work and it does save babies. They don't want them to have the choice to know that there's support available so they can give birth to their child. So we see that really behind the abortion industry is a desire to end unborn human life. And if women suffer, they are the collateral damage that they are willing to accept in the promotion of this agenda.
Well, the women seem to be the collateral damage in a lot of issues, especially men that pretend to be women in today's society as well. So apparently the status of a woman is not very high on the progressives' end of the aisle. How does this fall into telemedicine now? Because with the growing technology, being able to do a Zoom conference with a doctor and just getting telemedicine, is this on the slate to just have shipped right out to you with maybe just a quick 5-minute phone video conference call with a doctor?
Yeah, so in 2021, when the FDA began allowing this without an in-person visit, that was what they said they wanted, telemedicine. But, of course, it has evolved because there were no safeguards to prevent it into online ordering, where they're being illegally mailed into states like Texas, where I practice. Even with telemedicine, if it's done in a different state and the woman doesn't know her gestational age or complains of pain, worrisome for an ectopic pregnancy, they don't have the ability to order an ultrasound. And so again, those critical pre-abortion tests that the FDA has always said were necessary, now all of a sudden, forget it, we don't need them, they're not necessary anymore, based on no evidence, by the way.
Yeah.
They point at studies that use ultrasounds, and then they say these studies prove that ultrasounds aren't needed. So how dishonest is that?
Yeah, there's not a lot of honesty going on in the conversation right now. We're talking with Dr. Ingrid Skop. She is the Director of Medical Affairs for the Charlotte Lauser Institute. Let's talk about the reversal of Roe v. Wade that we saw a few years ago and how that's worked, positive and negative, because the other side says that because there's not a universal law now, that means that people are so confused that they don't know what to do. They're refusing to go to the doctor to get treatment if they do have some type of pregnancy concern or some type of complication that may harm them, to the point where they say that women are dying in the streets in Texas, even where you're at, because they're too afraid to go to the doctor and ask for some type of medical treatment, and therefore they're just going to let their bodies die out in the streets without any medical care. Is that really what's going on here?
Well, that is the narrative that has been promoted, and I'm sorry to say, by many mainstream medical organizations that are very pro-abortion. Every single one of the state laws that protects unborn life allows an exception if an abortion is needed to protect a woman with a threat to her life. So it's very dishonest, but it has been effective in frightening doctors. In Texas, some of these doctors don't know what's going on. Sadly, they haven't read the law. And because their medical organizations have not explained the law to them, they're reading the newspaper. They're reading these narratives that say they can't intervene. In some cases, even in cases of ectopic pregnancy and miscarriage, where the child has already passed away, doctors are refusing to intervene. So that's a cowardly move. They need to read the law. They need to understand what the law says. But it has been there has really been just a tsunami of misinformation. It's been intentional. The intent is to turn the American public, pregnant women, and doctors against these laws that are protecting unborn life.
Yeah. It is unfortunate. I know right now they're making this a number one priority for the campaign trail. And with this conversation with the Supreme Court, you said it's already breaking the law that they're even hearing this case. But are you optimistic that the Supreme Court's going to vote in the right decision on these hearings based on what's going on with the side effects of this pill?
Well, I think the data is extremely compelling. So if the Supreme Court looks at the data on its merits, on how what the FDA has done, I feel that they will rule in our favor. The concern is they have, of course, been so bullied and beaten up over the abortion issue that the first question that has to be addressed is, do the doctors of the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine, that's doctors like me that are taking care of these complications when they've been mailed in from out of state and the abortionist is nowhere to be found, do we have standing to sue the FDA and say, you broke the law? The government's attorney actually said that no one has standing to sue the FDA, that the FDA should be allowed to do whatever it wants. And I think anybody who's paid attention the last 4 years recognizes that our governmental bureaucracies, these three-letter agencies, in many cases have gone rogue. They've pursued ideologic agendas. So I am very hopeful that the Supreme Court will recognize this is more than just an abortion case. This is a case about reining in governmental organizations that feel empowered to break their own rules in search of ideology.
Yeah, I can't imagine that that's a popular stance nowadays, especially with what happened with COVID in the past few years on the medical side, that the FDA, the World Health Organization, the NIH, even some of the big pharma industries are immune from actually having legal liability based on some of their decisions. I can't imagine that's a popular stance that many are trying to take right now.
Well, I'm so hopeful that the American public are waking up and recognizing that this has happened. It's bigger than abortion, but in the case of abortion, it is harming so many women. So if we care about women, we really need to rein this in.
Yeah, amen to that. We got about 30 seconds left here, Doctor, but your thoughts on the next step with this hearing for the Supreme Court. When are they convening to talk about this again, and do you expect a ruling this year?
Yes, I expect a ruling in late June or potentially early July. I'm told that this session may go a little bit long. What has been explained to me is that they may have already had a straw vote on what they want to do, but then the judges can talk amongst each other and can try to convince each other. So again, there is still time for them to dig through the 39 amicus briefs that have been filed on behalf of the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine, and to see the truth and to protect women.
I love it. The work in progress, and we got to make this forefront and center for us. It's Dr. Ingrid Skop. Doctor, thank you so much for coming on the program. Keep up the fight. We'll do it again real soon, my friend.
Oh, thanks. It's been a pleasure.
Appreciate it. Right back after this here on The Voice of Reason. Stay here.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Reason, common sense, rationale. Your political therapist is in the seat today, so welcome into it. Let's break some of this stuff down. Thanks again for coming on the program, Dr. Ingrid Skop. She is the Director of Medical Affairs for the Charlotte Loser Institute. Talking about that abortion pill, it's wild that that's going to be the front and center topic of discussion and platform for the Democrats. I'm going to sum up the platform for you for the other side of the aisle here in just one general statement, because this is exactly what they're pushing, exactly what they're wanting to make happen, what they've talked about on the campaign trail, is that we're going to bail you out on anything, we're going to take firearms away, and we're going to give you abortion. Like, and the identity politics. That's right. We got to have the 50 some odd days a year on some type of LGBTQ or transgender awareness that we have in the nation as well. Conveniently falling on one of the most holy and one of the biggest holidays of the entire year, with Easter happening a few days ago as well. So, I mean, why not? We're just going to throw all this at you, and then you just need to accept it. You just need to go along with it. I'm telling you, it's a platform. Not saying it's a good platform, but it's a platform, and that could go one of two ways. Either it's going to bomb big time because they're only resonating within an echo chamber of their own voter base, which is not going to broaden or widen out whatsoever. Or we've seen the political shift so far that the center of the road, the moderate politicians, the moderate voter base in this nation has now accepted that to be a mainstream talking point and idea. And if that's the case, then we are way off base. As you know, the political spectrum continues to change, and us conservatives that usually stay on the conservative aisle, we are now considered radical, we're considered nut jobs, we're considered the most dangerous and most extreme political organization on the face of the earth and in the history of the United States, and that we are the domestic terrorists, essentially, and that has become a staple for the Democrat platform. When you campaign on that, the opening day of the beginning of January, right after the new year, and that's what your campaign says from Joe Biden, and says that's what you're going to campaign against, either tyranny and authoritarianism, that is the other side because we disagree with them, or it's democracy for us to silence speech and take firearms away and make people destroy their babies and whatever else they choose to do. If that's the platform, man, then we are either in really radical times or the political mindset has shifted pretty dramatically in the nation to be a mainstream talking point. I don't necessarily know that that's going to win them over. But if you listen to Hillary Clinton while she's on the late night talk shows, just having a grand old time talking about how Joe Biden's just an old lovable kind of grandpa that's still kind of holding up that narrative. Again, will that win? Time will tell.
Get over yourself. Those are the two choices.
Yeah, yeah, love that.
Right? And you know, it's kind of like one is old and effective and compassionate, has a heart and really cares about people. And one is old and has been charged with 91 felonies.
That's what they're trying to set the narrative to be, and it's going to work with the mainstream media. It's whether you actually buy into that or not. At the same time, Joe Biden is on the campaign trail saying that he's going to flip some of these red states. He is just talking out of his mouth now because he's just saying random words that just slur together at some point. He can't remember his name, but now he's getting so much momentum, according to the media, that while Donald Trump's still in the lead for most of the polls, and especially in most of the swing states across the nation, that he's now gaining momentum slowly. He's doing the small creep, just the slow creep until November, to the point where he's apparently going to swing red states into going blue because Donald Trump is such a nut and he's going to have so many different court cases and he's going to be in so much trouble legally and he's going to be tied up with all that he won't be able to be on the campaign trail, and that the slow creep of Joe Biden is going to win everybody over and flip these red states blue. That is the narrative that they're pushing now, which now sets it subconsciously for the other side of the aisle that if that doesn't happen, then all of a sudden Donald Trump colluded with Russia to steal the election all over again. That's the narrative we're going to hear for the next 4 years if Donald Trump gets elected again, that he's not a legitimate president and that he stole the election and that he's not legitimate, which sounds vaguely familiar of what we're not allowed to do when Donald Trump lost in 2020. Huh. Oh, the irony.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. When reason meets radio, this is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed it is. Welcome back into it. Your political therapist, your patriot on the prairie, your voice of reason, your conservative millennial general, your, I don't know, whatever name we have on this program. Welcome back into it. So great to have you with us on a post-Monday celebration. Real quick, couple of things. I was looking back and just doing kind of a reflection of what we've done over the past few, not just year, but really the past few months since January. And we've come a long way. A lot of cool stuff going on right now. If you get a chance, go to the website, HoosierReason.com, HOOSER, Reason.com. Been working on a lot of the stuff on the website, adding some new features, reorganizing some things, adding all of our new partners on there, which is really neat. We have a live video feed now, which you can go if you go to HoosierReason.com and click on the live tab. You can listen to it live with our audio feed, or you can watch it live with our video. At the same, and that's all the way, hat tip to our partners over at OpsLens, OpsLens.com. There's a chat room on there that which you can chat, which I will check sporadically throughout the programs every day as well. Also, you can, if you have Roku TV, a lot of people still have their Roku TVs and watch Roku, the channels. We do have the OpsLens channel, which we broadcast live on every day. And I've heard, I don't know the exact numbers, but they've told me that this program and a few of the others, all of them in general, but this program especially does very well on Roku. So everybody watching on there, love you to death. Appreciate you very much. Always great. If you want to download the podcast, which we do upload all the shows afterwards as well, you can always go and find The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier on any of your favorite podcasting sites. You can subscribe to have it automatically downloaded and listen to the show shortly after. We broadcast 6 days a week with both our regional show during the week, our national show during the weekend, and our local program that we do here in the Wichita area. They all go up on there, and it's really awesome. And we've officially hit 100,000 downloads of that podcast as of, before the end of this month, this past month in March. So that was awesome. We always thank you. Love you to death. Can't thank you enough for all the great support, including all the great partners that we have. We'll talk about here in just a bit on the show. That being said, let's get into our What's Trending, because there's a lot of stuff going on.
What's trending today?
I just had to throw all that out because I'm really proud. I always love doing a kind of a review on the progress that's being made, and it seems like there's a lot of progress and cool stuff going on. Let's go out to the state of Nevada for just a moment. Relatively blue state, but there is opportunity for it to flip red. In fact, while Joe Biden says that he's wanting to flip blue states red, I kind of laugh at that a little bit because we're about ready to flip a lot of blue states red instead of flipping the red states blue like he wants to do. And we're seeing that with some of the demographics that are walking away from the Democrat Party, which is why their desperation's out right now. Barack Obama's getting involved. They're trying to do these big fundraisers. Hillary Clinton's on late night talk shows. They're doing whatever they can to get their message out there. And I don't know that it's necessarily working right now, which I find kind of ironic. But there's a new candidate jumping into the already packed race in the state of Nevada for the U.S. Senate, challenging the Democrats in their seats.
It's quite simple. If not now, when? And the reality is, if not me, who else? As a physician who's practiced here in Nevada for 28 years treating skin cancer, as someone who has extensive diplomatic experience, internationally as well, having been President Trump's U.S. ambassador to Iceland, and looking at the world right now, which is absolutely falling apart. We don't have a border. We have people pouring over our border. We have kids dying of fentanyl. We have crime in the streets. We have chaos around the world internationally. We saw the disaster that happened in Afghanistan. We then saw what happens in Ukraine with endless wars and literally tens of billion dollars being spent over Ukraine.
And it goes on there. But that was, by the way, hat tip to Fox News. I don't know why they always put that jingly music behind there. But that audio from Fox News is that was a new Republican, what he calls himself a 110% pro-Trump supporter, and someone who worked under the Trump administration as the former U.S. ambassador to the nation of Iceland, Republican Nevada Senate candidate Jeff, is it Gunter? Gunter, G-U-N-T-E-R. Jumping into this race. Now, he acknowledges that there is a very large and vast field of Republican candidates running right now because there are blue senators that run both of those seats, which means it's a relatively blue state. And going further to the right as a Trump-supporting conservative candidate in the state of Nevada is a very interesting take on how this race may pan out in the field. So while, again, the Biden administration says they're trying to flip states blue from being deep red, that's obviously not working. He's just trying to hold on to the voters that he has already right now. But in fact, there are more conservative candidates jumping into races challenging blue districts and blue states right now. And that could be beneficial. Maybe it won't go anywhere. I don't really know. But I will say that I think that that's more of a benefit to challenge from the conservative stance as it is to go more wishy-washy and moderate, because we see how well that turns out every single time. When you try to jump in with John McCain, when you try to jump in with Mitt Romney, you can see how well that trying to play it safe and bring in the moderate candidate, the wishy-washy rhino middle of the road, you can see how well that actually works at a statewide or a national level across the country on the Republican side. Republicans don't want that. And that should be a resonating message that the conservatives and the Republican Party as a whole, the RNC, should take very seriously. When we put up rhino, sketchy, wishy-washy, just go with the flow type of Republicans, the Republican Party gets angry. And they don't turn out. Mitt Romney had the lowest Republican voter turnout in any Republican for a few presidential races when he ran for president in 2012. John McCain obviously lost, not just because we were coming already off of 8 years of a George Bush administration, so there really wasn't much of a change, and I don't think people wanted that. We had a couple really rough races, did we not? And we did not put up the best candidates, which should be a reminder that going wishy-washy middle of the road is not the way to actually win over Republican voters. But right now there's two Democrat senators in the state of Nevada, Jackie Rosen and Catherine Cortez Masto, that are being challenged with the seats with Republicans jumping on board, one of them now being a very staunch Republican candidate in these races. So I ask you, Republican Party, RNC, and Republican voters, you that's about ready to go to the polls later on this year, if you had the choice, would you go for the rhino establishment? Well, it's a deep blue state, so therefore a little bit going moderate, trying to appeal to some of the Democrats around the fence. Is that the best way to go? Or is it, hey, we're going to go conservative here. These are our principles, like it or not. Because I have to admit that even if you don't agree with all the policies, don't you respect them just a little bit more? Just a little bit more? I don't like a single policy that Bernie Sanders advocates for, but he's staunch on it. And he doesn't take any garbage from either side of the aisle, and I respect that. And you respect your opponent because you realize how strong they are based on their morals and virtues and how that's going to be a pillar for them and they're not going to waver from that. You realize and recognize and respect their strength. Doesn't mean you like it. Doesn't mean you agree with it, but you respect their strength. If you have an enemy, not that Joe Biden knows about this in geopolitics and foreign policy right now, but if you have an enemy that is very strong, then you don't just waltz in with the Conor McGregor swag and say, I'm just going to demolish you. You respect their strength because they could challenge you. You still think that you're superior, but they could challenge you and put up a good fight and drain a lot of your resources, which could be pretty devastating for you. Hint, hint, wink, wink, that should be a reminder for the Republican Party, because while Congress right now is out of session, I know they're not in session right now for the entire week, which means essentially an entire branch of our government is shut down, which is what we try to avoid, which probably means
we're all going to die because of you.
Yeah, we're all you're not aware of it right now. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but you need to be aware of your consciousness. You need to be aware of your surroundings. You are dying as we speak because government is not in session, or at least Congress is not in session for this entire week, which means the government shut down, at least in portion, and therefore you're probably dead in the street and you don't even know it. You don't even you don't even know it. But when we come back next week, what's the priority number one for Congress? Oh, that's right. It's Ukrainian funding. Ukrainian funding is priority numero uno for the Republicans and Democrats, with many Republicans even saying that it's going to be a very easy vote to pass to secure funding for Ukraine, to get it to the president's desk quickly, and to be able to aid Ukraine as quickly as possible. That's what their number one priority is, and they feel very confident in getting that done. Now, I want to stomp the brakes on that for just a moment and remind the Republican Party that the whole reason we didn't pass Ukrainian funding all the way back, like, I don't know, before the holidays, I know that we have short-term memory loss during politics, and most voters have short-term memory loss to remember what happened just a month ago. Let's go back to like the month of November, when Republicans said we would not pass Ukrainian funding or Israeli funding any further until we pass some type of bill on immigration and the southern border. That hasn't happened yet. So as far as I'm aware, unless they've done something that I don't know of during their week that they're off of their session, that we haven't passed any type of immigration, but yet we're going to pass some type of Ukrainian funding. And we're going to be totally okay with that. Which is why we saw Marjorie Taylor Greene, if you remember just a few weeks ago, put up the bill to try to oust Mike Johnson because she's tired of passing these ridiculous bills that don't give us the leverage to do what we wanted to do.
Forced Republicans to choose between funding to pay our soldiers, and in doing so, funding late-term abortion. This bill was basically a dream and a wish list for Democrats and for the White House. It was completely led by Chuck Schumer, not our Republican Speaker of the House, not our conference, and we weren't even allowed to put amendments to the floor to have a chance to make changes to the bill.
Now, that was in reference, by the way, to the $1.2 trillion spending package that finished off passing the entire federal budget. The first time, by the way, that we've passed an entire federal budget since during the Barack Obama administration, that $1.2 trillion being the last six of the appropriation bills that needed to be passed on that front. That was in the dead of the night. That was the night before the government shut down, because remember, we can't let the government shut down or else
we're all gonna die because of you,
which is why we see Congress being shut down right now and being back in session next week. But already having that on the table as a warning to Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, that we need to actually hold on to our values and our principles. Are we going to compromise by passing Ukrainian funding without standing on our original idea that we're not going to do that unless we actually get some type of immigration bill passed through? If so, then are we cowering and backing off all over again?
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed it is. Welcome back into it. Last couple of minutes here on the program. Hey, I want to tell you about my friends over at Americans for Prosperity. They are the largest grassroots organization in the entire nation. 4 million advocates nationwide in all 50 states. And you can be part of that movement as well. All they want to do is send you information to where you are an educated voter going into election season. I know it's a wild concept for you to actually be on the up and up and understand what's really going on. So do me a favor, go to prosperityispossible.com, prosperityispossible.com, type in your email, just be on the news blasts, and when information comes out, then you can see all the great content that they have and understand what the, I don't know, what the economy is like really doing when they talk about Bidenomics and how great the economy is going right now. And turkeys during Thanksgiving, the lowest price of any turkey since like the 1800s or something, whatever Joe Biden said at that time. Also, you can check out the website at Bidenomics.com. Go ahead and do it right now. Unless you're driving, don't do it right now. But if you get a chance on your phone, on your laptop later, go to Bidenomics.com and just look at some of that information. Because that domain is owned by Americans for Prosperity as well, which is kind of crafty. So well done on that one. You guys rocked it. Yeah. All right. Prosperityispossible.com. Go and check out the website. Sign up and be part of the movement. Be ready for election season. Don't fall for some of the misinformation, the fake news.
You are fake news.
That we get from the other side of the aisle, the mainstream media, the Democrats on the campaign trail, and so many more. Understand the truth, the reason, and the facts that are going on in this country economically, and bring prosperity back. Prosperityispossible.com. Speaking of, Marjorie Taylor Greene still pushing for the potential ousting of Speaker Mike Johnson, because they're not very happy with what's going on right now. Obviously, not only with the passing of the $1.2 trillion spending package, but also with the potential spending of Ukrainian funding, which we already passed our budget. So where are we getting the money for Ukraine? I don't know. That's kind of an interesting thought as well. But it doesn't matter because we're apparently going to do that. And Mike Johnson going on Sean Hannity last night saying that he is in conversation with Marjorie Taylor Greene, trying to calm things down a little bit on how we need to move forward with a Republican agenda.
Well, it's his own signature on the document. That's why we posted it. The evidence speaks for itself.
No, hold on. Let's try that. Let's do clip number four.
Yeah, Marjorie and I are going to talk again this week. She's frustrated, and we all are, to your point. Every conservative is frustrated about our current position. We have the smallest majority in U.S. history. We have a one-vote margin right now. So it's very difficult to move big things up the field for our principles. But here's how we're going to do it, Sean. It's a very simple formula. We will grow the majority in November. We'll win back the Senate, and Donald Trump will be returned to the White House. If we do a couple of simple things, we have to show what we're for. That's what Vivek was saying earlier. He's exactly right. That's what we've been saying. You know, I talk a lot about the seven core principles of American conservatism. It's individual freedom, limited government, the rule of law, peace through strength, fiscal responsibility, free markets, human dignity. These are the things that made America the most exceptional nation in the history of the world. We're for those foundational principles, and the Democrats, the progressives, are not.
He's right. The question is, will Republicans actually stand on those? And one of those is that we promise to actually do what we say we're going to do. And back in November, we said we would not pass any more Ukrainian funding until we pass an immigration package. We have not, as far as I'm aware. I could be wrong there, and if so, correct me, and I'd totally be okay with that. I would be very happy if I was proven wrong, but as far as I'm aware, we have not passed an immigration package yet. So why is it that Republicans in unison say that it should be a very easy vote when they come back next week to pass some type of Ukrainian funding? Now, I guess put a light positive touch on here. They say that they want to make it into a loan instead of a grant that Ukraine would have to pay back if they end up passing something. So if you want to sprinkle some, you know, nice flavored candy on top of the dog, you know what, then I guess you can do that. But at the same time, it's still giving money to Ukraine or giving resources to Ukraine, which I'm not saying that I'm completely against, but I am saying that Republicans made a pledge that they would not do so until we start addressing our own border. And just because one time failed, that was hard written by James Lankford, and then the Democrats kind of hijacked it and took it over and spread a whole bunch of garbage around it, that just because one time failed does not mean that we just throw our hands up, give up, and just move on to the next thing. If Republicans are that weak-kneed that they just give up so easily, I don't want them in office either. I want them to fight, and I want them to stay true to their word. And their word promised us that we would address immigration before we address Ukrainian funding. So Republicans, when you go back there next week, and I know you're listening, when you head up back up there next week into Washington, D.C., remember that promise that you told us and have that in mind. And if we have to partner both of them up again, then so be it. But at the same time, we're not going to cower and give up and just walk away and just give Democrats what they want, which is an open book and an open check for Ukrainian funding. Totally not okay with that. Podcast up in just a little bit. Until then, we're back at it again tomorrow. Be your own voice of reason. Remember the promises that your elected officials hold to you, and do the same and put their feet to the fire. Until then, this is The Voice of Reason. I'm Andy Hoosier. Have a great day. We'll see you on the radio. Bye.